This episode of Sunday Conversation is a special segment from our 2026 Candidate Forum Series.
Good evening. I'm Jeremiah Bernard with the Collegiate 100 at Columbus State University.
And I'm Janelle Williams for the Courier Eco Latina newspaper. Welcome to the Courier Eco Latina newspaper and Davis Broadcasting Inc.'s final forum in our A Countdown to Change series. Tonight's event features your candidates seeking to become the next mayor of Columbus, Georgia.
Our goal this evening is to foster a respectful, informative, and engaging conversation that helps the public make thoughtful and informed decisions. Please note that tonight's forum is being live streamed on the Courier Eco Latino newspaper's Facebook page, as well as being broadcast live on Davis Broadcasting's radio station, K92.7 and AM 1340 and 94.1 FM WOKS.
And now, please join me as we welcome the moderators for this evening's forum.
Hi, good evening. The mics are really working tonight. Good evening, and thank you to Michael King and the entire City Council for allowing us to use this building over the last 3 weeks. Thank you so much for the awesome job that you've done. Let's give them a round of applause. My name is Janice Granville. I am the Vice President of Davis Broadcasting. I am excited to be here. We are a radio broadcasting company, and we are excited to broadcast this event tonight on K92.7 and WOKS on the AM and the FM dial, 94.1 and 1340 AM.
And I'm Wayne Hales, President and Publisher of the Courier Eco Latino newspaper. We are proud also to be serving this community for the past 21 years.
Once again, this marks the final installment of our three-part forum series. We extend our sincere appreciation to all of the candidates who have participated in the District 1, District 3, District 5, District 7, and District 9 forums, and a special thank you to the mayoral candidates joining us this evening. We firmly believe that if you are seeking to serve the community as a city councilor or mayor, it is not optional, it is essential that you show up and stand before the people and answer their questions. So tonight, we thank each of you for being present and for your willingness to engage with the community you seek to serve.
We are also excited to have with us representatives from various Black civic and social organizations who will join us in presenting questions to the candidates. Those organizations here with us this evening are the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, the Columbus, Georgia Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, A Call to Talk, A Call to Action, the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance, the Urban League of the River Valley Young Professionals, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, the NAACP, the Columbus, Georgia Jack and Jill of America, Columbus, Georgia United, the Lynx Incorporated, the Gamma Tau Omega Chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, the River Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, and the Collegiate 100.
Before we begin, let us briefly review the format for this evening. Each candidate will be given 1 minute for an opening statement, followed by a series of questions from the moderators. And here, our moderators and our questions will come from the organizations Mr. Hales just mentioned. Candidates will have 1 minute to respond to each question, and we respectfully ask that participants remain mindful of the time limits so that every candidate has an equal opportunity to be heard. At the conclusion of the forum, each candidate will also have 1 minute for closing remarks. If a candidate references another candidate during their response, the candidate mentioned will be given 15 seconds to respond. Only one round of response will be permitted.
Time permitting, we will include questions from the audience, and we already have some. So if you have a question you want to say, please get it up to us. Members of our committee here, they may have index cards that they can pass around. Now, we ask in the audience to please remain respectful throughout the evening and allow each candidate the opportunity to speak without interruption. We know everyone has their group here, so no applause, because that's just going to cause too many problems. And we've got a lot of questions to get to. And we appreciate you. Thank you.
So if we could begin by just doing a simple test. If you could just test and just state your name real quick with the green button.
Isaiah Hughley.
Steve Kelly.
Mark LaJoy.
Dr. Jakeetra Bryant.
Thank you so much. So we're going to begin with introductory statements, and we will rotate the order that we ask questions in. So this evening, we're going to start with Ms. Bryant. Dr. Jakeetra Bryant, would you please start your introduction? If everyone can see the timer right here. Thank you.
Good evening. I am Dr. Jakeetra Bryant, and I'd like to start with that I'm not a career politician. I am a mom. I'm a woman. I'm a Black woman. And I'm a person that saw the needs of our community, from the investments that's needed to the schools that need to be readjusted to the overdue things that are happening in every area. I'm a licensed professional counselor and have been practicing for 16 years. And as well as a researcher, one that's actually been hired in multiple states, including countries, to serve with helping organizations to understand their biases, helping organizations to work more collaboratively together, and helping organizations also to hire, to reduce retention, as well as my dissertation focus that most people might not know on the practices of Black male educators in Georgia public school classrooms. That's a published work looking at what's going on. And so I'm here to
say time.
Thank you. Mr. LaJoy.
First, I'd like to start off by thanking Davis Broadcasting and Echo Latino newspaper for inviting us to speak here this evening. My name's Mark LaJoy. You don't already know that. I'm a veteran law enforcement professional of 40 years. I worked in all aspects of law enforcement. I'm a special operations combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan with more than 41 years of service. I was married to Martha LaJoy for 45 years, who's in the audience tonight. I'm very proud of that. I have one son, one stepson, two stepdaughters, and six grandchildren. I have my education background is a pre-law degree. I have a bachelor's and associate's degree in criminal justice. Over four decades of military leadership, I was the interim command sergeant major for the group support battalion of the 20 Special Forces Group, which is based out of Birmingham. I managed over $1 billion in resources and equipment while I was a command sergeant major there. As a program manager for government, boom, that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly.
Good evening. I want to thank our host, my beautiful wife, Shakedrin, which is in the audience. She actually broke her foot this morning and still made it. Most importantly, I want to thank everyone attending, watching, and listening. I'm a retired U.S. Army veteran, a small business owner. I hold an undergrad in business, and I have my MBA from Georgia Southern. My wife and I are raising our daughter right here in Columbus, and I want to see the city become what we all know it can be. I've spent nearly my entire life delivering results at scale. Over 20 years in the Army, I was responsible for the training, safety, and welfare of more than 4,000 soldiers at a time. I led operations where accountability was immediate and failure was not an option. I oversaw resources and operations exceeding $370 million annually, not just on paper, but reviewing contract lines line by line, approving decisions, auditing performance, and making sure execution matched expectations. I have also led infrastructure projects that others said would not get approved, working directly with senior
leadership. Time.
Thought we had 90 seconds.
Thank you. Mr. Hughley.
Thank you to the host. I'm Isaiah Hughley, and I am running to be the 71st mayor of Columbus, Georgia. It has been one of the greatest honors of my life to serve the city for 20 years as city manager. In that role, I was the implementer and of the vision of set by four mayors and numerous city council members. Together with public-private partnerships and you, we were able to move Columbus forward. But today, I come before you ready to take on a different responsibility, a different role. If you allow me the opportunity to become the next mayor, I will not only implement, but I will define the vision for our city. I will lead Columbus to a better future for our children and grandchildren. We are living in uncertain times, and it's time, in these times, we cannot afford delay. We need a mayor who can lead day one. No learning curve. I believe I am that candidate.
Time.
Thank you all. So let me say, I know that a minute can sometimes seem a little short, but in order for us to hear from each one of you, we are asking that you try to keep your statements for a minute. There may be more that some of the members out here want to hear from you afterwards, but that's a great time to do it, just afterwards and finish those conversations. I do want to let the audience know we have been told that Mr. Briault had an emergency family matter that came up at the beginning of this event that he is trying to take care of right now. So we do hope that he will be able to attend on today, but he did notify us that is what's happening on now. Okay, I will start our first question. It can be considered a softball question, but I do ask this. So as mayor of our city, you will be asked to be the representative of our city, whether you are talking to future businesses that want to come and join our city that we want to recruit, or you're talking to conferences that are coming to the Trade Center or other venues in our city that are visiting for the first time. I am asking you to give two things that you absolutely love about our city that you would promote as you talk to other people about why they should be here. And then I want you to give us two things that you find to be priorities of matters that need to be fixed or changed in our city. Am I clear on the question? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. In one question, if you would give two things that you love and two things that you know are priorities that need to be changed. All right, thank you. And Mr. Hughley, we'll start with you.
No doubt, we have become love about our city. One would be the city that we've built over the last 20 years. No doubt, we have become the 12th best-run city in 2024 in the United States of America. In 2025, we're the 20th best-run city in all of America. And so I like the momentum. I like the growth. And I want to see that continue, obviously. Two things. Okay, well, and the other thing I would say is the people of Columbus. We love Columbus. We've demonstrated that. We've passed every sales tax that we've needed to pass to give our city the momentum and growth that we need, and I'm excited about that. We are going to continue that growth as I become mayor of Columbus, Georgia.
Okay, so let's do this. So that's fine. Those are the two things that you love about our city. I'm going to ask you to take 30 seconds. So we're going to do 1 minute and 30 seconds. Let's give a round of applause for Collegiate 100, who's working our time, please. Yeah. He's being flexible with us this evening. Now, 30 seconds to talk about two things, and you don't have to go into depth, but two things that need to change as priorities for you, where we have obstacles, where we need change.
Well, the two things that need to change is one, the chaos, the dysfunction within our city. We have got to send the message to the rest of Georgia and the world that we are the Columbus that we once were a few years back, and we are going to get back. We're going to unite Columbus, and so those would be the two things for me.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly, you have a minute and a half to give us two things that you love about Columbus and two things that are obstacles that would be priorities for you to change if you were elected mayor.
So for me, the first one's easy. It's the people. It's the culture. I'm not originally from Columbus. I'm originally from Rochester, New York. And coming here, I found it to be very accepting. And I found it to become home. And from somebody that's been in the military for 20 years and bounced all around the world, literally, that's refreshing. It really is. I also love the opportunity that this city possesses. We have everything right here that we need. We just need some improvements. And this city has unlimited potential. Now, two things that I hate, which also ties into the two things that I love, I absolutely hate the socioeconomic and political divides that are going on in this city. The chaos, the division, all of it. I don't like it. And the cost of living. That's the next thing that I truly hate. The cost of living has increased so much in Columbus in just the last several years. Rent has gone up 150%? I think it was 1.5 on average in the last 4 years. Those are my loves and hates of the city.
Thank you. Mr. LaJoy.
Well, first of all, if you've ever lived in the north, you got to shovel snow. I don't have shovel snow here in Columbus, but that's one thing. The second thing is people.
Thank you, Mr. LaJoy. Dr. Bryant?
So I always tell this story that something that I absolutely loved about the community when I moved here is we saw everyone twice. And so coming from a large city like Atlanta, you don't. Like, you run into lots of traffic. And so I actually love the fact that there's so much diversity here and there is so much opportunity to actually see your neighbor again and be present with your neighbor. And so another thing I love about this city is there's unbelievable talent, from the creatives to the different lived experiences. And it can be utilized better within the city. And some of the things that I dislike is the disconnect, not utilizing those very same people to be your voice and having the groups and the cliques. That makes everything exclusionary and it doesn't bring people home and it's not very attractive to the city. And then next, it would be the fact that our youth, they're failing academically, emotionally, and physically. Physically meaning they leave us, whether to incarceration or to the ground. And that's not okay for me. And that's something I would definitely put in place to change.
Thank you all so much. Our first question is going to come from the Muskogee County Democrats.
Good evening. And thank you all for being here to speak with the constituents this evening. My question is, in the last couple of years, what has been a decision made by the city council that you disagree with, and what would you have done differently than what they decided upon?
Okay, can everybody hear the question?
No.
Okay.
The question is, in recent years, can you think of a decision that the city council has made that you do not agree with, and what would you have done differently?
So we'll start with Mr. Kelly, and then we'll go back all the way around. We'll end with Mr. Hughley.
Criminalizing homelessness. I don't care what anybody says, we criminalized homelessness. It is being left up to CPD to decide if they actually want to arrest people and prosecute them or not. I have a big problem with that. We are punishing people for being poor. What I would have done different is I would have ensured that that plan that was originally made back in 2012 that was never followed through with was used. There's a lot of stuff that's going on with the homeless in Columbus, and there's a lot of stuff that I caught even right here in the city council meeting. I asked why was the mayor so adamant on pushing out that $35,000 to wanted to push out the $35,000, and he was very adamant on getting that pushed through. And then the person that money was supposed to go through.
Time.
Mr. LaJoy.
Well, I think I alluded to that earlier about the referendum or about the baseball park down there. That was crazy. That was all done by a backroom deal, a secret backroom deal. Nobody knew about it until it came out, until it was approved. There's no way that I would have done that. I would have brought that out to the public. I would have brought it out for referendum to you as the taxpayers. That's how I would have done it. I would have insisted that that's done. But that was done in a backroom deal, and now you got to foot the bill for $40 million. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Dr. Bryant?
I would have to say the ongoing financial approvals. There are so many financial approvals that happen right, actually not here, behind here, whenever anyone is asking for more money from their different departments. And so that is not a lot of transparency. That's no transparency. And so I think what we need is an actual budget and planning committee that will actually oversee that. So I would say the constant approvals of random finances from across the city.
Mr. Hughley.
I know everyone expects me to say the termination of the best city manager in the state of Georgia, the 20th best run city in America. And I would just say to you that the purported reasons for my firing have been disproven. The so-called missing funds were never missing. It was politics, pure and simple, to improperly affect the mayor's race, and the people should not, and I believe they will not, stand for it. I truly expect they will elect Isaiah Hughley, the next mayor, the 71st mayor of Columbus, Georgia, on May 19th. It was irresponsible beyond imagination. There was no transition plan created, and they created instability. Experience was lost. The city needs steady, strong leadership and
time.
No more.
Thank you all.
Isaiah Hughley.
Thank you. So, 30-second follow-up question. As CEO, you all don't determine the votes, but you are guiding this city. So please address, use the same topics that you just answered, which are things that you did not like. If you did not already, please address how you, if you are elected mayor, will use your actual abilities to try and transform or change decisions like the ones that you were against. Am I clear? Okay, you have 30 seconds, and we're going to start with Mr. Hughley, and we'll go back.
I will start where I was about to end. The city needs steady, strong leadership and no more. No one, and certainly not our citizens, will be subjected to the chaos when I am mayor. That's the one thing I want to say. And the employees, the department heads who come and stand at that podium will receive their dignity and respect, because civility around this table will happen.
Mr. Kelly?
So regarding the homeless, I know there are certain people that do sit up here that do not feel that the burden should fall on the local government and that it should fall on faith-based organizations and nonprofits. I disagree with that. I am currently working on a program that everything will go through one single channel, one process, and then it will outflow and we can actually get a real count on what we're dealing with and we can actually have effective change. 30 seconds.
Mr. LaJoy?
I don't know if anybody out there feels comfortable with spending $40 million when it was done behind doors, closed doors, secret votes. To me, that's not comfortability. We have to bring that to the referendum or bring it to the public, and the mayor will use that power to bring it to the public and make sure that you approve of it and approve of everything that's involved with it. But that was totally wrong, what they did to you as the taxpayers. Totally wrong. And it was the city council members and the mayor that brought it forward. They're to blame.
Dr. Bryant.
Yes, and so in regards to, like, budget and planning, I've already committed to and have done in the past with, like, the city of Savannah, with my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta, and just other organizations on actually helping execute and organize a budget and planning committee and group. And I would do the same, because it needs to be transparent, it needs to be upfront and public, as well as I would also run a mayor's tracker, which is running beautifully in Baltimore, Maryland, where it's full transparency and it's very active and
time.
It's real time.
The next question will be offered by Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Is this working? Do you need yours? Yes, my name is Dr. John Williams. I represent the Delta Iota Lambda chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity. I just recently moved back to Columbus, and I chose to make this my home. So my question is directly related to my life and my lifestyle. I'm an 83-year-old veteran, but I'm also a retired higher education administrator. I want to know what your plans are to limit and maximize taxes, property taxes, such that it doesn't affect seniors disproportionately, but at the same time provides the kind of support that our schools need to have.
Everyone understand the question? Mr. LaJoy.
Yes, I appreciate your service, sir. I don't know how many years you did, but I appreciate every day that you did there. Well, we're talking about veterans benefits and things. I would love to see that even if they're non-veterans, that they have the same benefit on a, what do you want to call it, descending scale. So 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, all the way up until they get 100%. That's my idea, is to make sure that they get like benefits that our veterans get on their property taxes.
Thank you. Dr. Bryant.
Welcome to Columbus, or welcome back to Columbus. And so I would actually put in a circuit breaker. It's called a circuit breaker. And what the circuit breaker does, it actually caps your taxes at a certain...
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.